Let's take our Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Vamos a abrir nuestras Biblias a Marcos capítulo 4. Marcos 4. It was a struggle a little bit to know how to go about this. What was on my mind was, do I jump right into the parables and start teaching on them? Or do I go first to the purpose behind the parables? And so I think that the Lord would have us see Jesus' purpose behind the parables, and then we'll go into the actual teaching of them. But the purpose comes right smack in between Jesus' giving the parable and him interpreting the parable. So I didn't quite know what to do with it, but I think that the Lord would have us to talk about the purpose behind the parables. Batallé un poquito para saber cómo predicar de esa porción de escritura. Con lo que estaba batallando era si presentaba la enseñanza misma de las parábolas o si presentaba primero el motivo de por qué Jesús hablaba en parábolas. Pero como el motivo de que Jesús hablaba en parábolas se encuentra ahí entre cuando él da la parábola y da la explicación, ahí en medio está Cristo, que da su propósito de enseñar así, como está en medio, digo, pues ya, vamos a enseñar del propósito primero de las parábolas. So, truthfully, the conclusion may come as a bit of a surprise. I had never really seen it this way myself, but Scripture has constrained me to see it this way. Nunca, en verdad, había visto el propósito de las parábolas. Y en verdad yo creo que la conclusión va a ser un poco sorprendente, pero es la escritura misma lo que le constriñe al predicador de hablar la palabra de Dios. So just ask for you to kind of hear me out, and we can work through this together to see Christ's conclusion, or his purpose, I should say, for teaching in parables. Así que les pido que por favor me escuchen y espero que juntos podamos llegar a la conclusión del propósito de las parábolas del Señor Jesús. So we're going to go ahead and read a fairly big portion of Scripture. We're going to go ahead and read from verse 1 all the way down to verse 20. Then we'll have prayer and then we'll go into the teaching. Vamos a leer Marcos 4 del 1 al 20. Luego oramos y de ahí entramos en la enseñanza. He began to teach again by the sea, and such a very large crowd gathered to him that he got into a boat in the sea and sat down. And the whole crowd was by the sea on the land, and he was teaching them many things in parables. And was saying to them in his teaching, listen to this. Behold, the sower went out to sow. As he was sowing, some seed fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on the rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of soil. And after the sun had risen, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. Other seeds fell into the good soil, and as they grew up and increased, they yielded a crop and produced 30, 60, and 100-fold. And he was saying, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. As soon as he was alone, his followers, along with the 12, began asking him about the parables. And he was saying to them, "To you has been given the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, get everything in parables." So that, and that's actually a key to understanding Christ's purpose behind the parables. Look at that. So that, this is the purpose. While seeing, they may see and not perceive. And while hearing, they may hear and not understand. Otherwise, they might return and be forgiven. And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. These are the ones who are beside the road where the word is sown. And when they hear, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word which has been sown in them. In a similar way, these are the ones on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no firm root in themselves, but are only temporary. Then when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones on whom seed was sown among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word. But the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And those are the ones on whom seed was sown on good soil. And they hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. Our focus this afternoon will be on verses 10 to 12. The purpose behind the parables. Let's pray, and then we'll read it again. Vamos a enfocarnos en los versículos del 10 al 12, pero vamos a orar primero. Father, we come before you thanking you for this time to be in your presence, for this time to be in your word. And I pray that you would bless it for the glory of your Son, Jesus Christ. Padre, damos gracias por esos momentos para estar en tu palabra y para estar en tu presencia. Pedimos que tú bendigas esos momentos y la enseñanza de tu palabra para la gloria de tu Hijo, el Señor Jesucristo. Amén. Amen. So let's go ahead and go back and thinking about what is the purpose of the parables. Verses 10 to 12, as soon as he was alone, his followers, along with the 12, began asking him about the parables. Vamos a leer de nuevo el 4 del 10 al 12. Estamos en el 11. And he was saying to them, "To you has been given the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, get everything in parables, so that while seeing they may see and not perceive, and while hearing they may hear and not understand, otherwise they might return and be forgiven." Thinking about our context, we remember that Mark is telling his gospel in the light of a new Exodus. And even more recently, in our study, we've seen that the Jews have openly rejected the Messiah. And Christ there talks and teaches on the unpardonable sin. After that, we see his people sitting at his feet. So we see these two groups, those who openly reject Christ and those who follow him. Para entender bien el propósito de las parábolas, tenemos que recordar el contexto. ¿Se acuerdan de que Marcos está narrando el Evangelio a la luz de un nuevo éxodo que se profetiza desde el Antiguo Testamento? Y últimamente lo que hemos estado viendo es cómo los judíos rechazaron a su Mesías de una manera abierta y de una manera pues muy fea. Y luego Jesús enseña del pecado que no tiene perdón, y ya de ahí pasamos a ver otro grupo de personas que está sentado a sus pies, siguiéndolo a él y recibiendo su enseñanza. So we have these two groups of people. And here in verse 10 to 12, we see once again these two groups of people. And actually, when you get right down to it, verse 1 says, he began to teach again by the sea. In the original language, it has a word that is sometimes translated and. And what it's meant to say is that there's continuity here. That we're still meant to see these parables in light of the previous teaching. In light of the previous things that have just happened. The open rejection by the Jews and the people that are sitting at his feet and learning him. Es muy importante de recordar el contexto al ver el propósito de las parábolas. Y de hecho, aquí empezando en Marcos 4:1, en el lenguaje original, hay una palabra que muchas de las veces se puede traducir por la palabrita y en español. Pero en el lenguaje original simplemente nos está llamando la atención a que tenemos que considerar esa enseñanza como una continuación de lo que ya se ha hablado. Así que las parábolas se tienen que ver a la luz de un grupo de personas que rechazan a Jesús y otro grupo de personas que se sienta a sus pies. And so as we remember these things, we have the crowd receiving the parable, and then it says in verse 10, as soon as he was alone, his followers, along with the 12, began asking him about the parables. So notice, his followers and the 12. Very interesting language there. They begin to ask him about the parables. And so Christ, in his answer, is going to give him the reason for him speaking in parables. Aquí el lenguaje es muy interesante. Dice que en el 10, cuando estuvo solo, los que estaban alrededor de él, junto con los 12, le preguntaban en cuanto a las parábolas. Tenemos a los que le seguían, que le preguntaron que por qué las parábolas, o cómo, o por qué estás enseñando de esa manera. Y vemos que Jesús da la respuesta de por qué él habla así. So once again, we see these two groups of people. We see those that are following Jesus, and we see those that Jesus says, those that are on the outside. Those people that are on the outside. And you who are following me. En la respuesta de Jesús, también vemos dos grupos de personas. Él dice, ustedes, los que me están siguiendo, se dirige a ellos. Pero también habla de aquellos, los que están afuera. So we still see two groups of people. We still see them. Todavía estamos viendo dos grupos de personas. Los que siguen a Jesús y los que no le siguen. And then we see what we could say is the lot of the two groups. We see one group, you that are following me, you have received the mystery of the kingdom of heaven. You have been given the mystery of the kingdom of heaven. Y luego vemos, hermanos, lo que corresponde a esos dos grupos. Dice, a ustedes, a los que me están siguiendo, se les ha dado el misterio del reino de los cielos. Mystery. Why the word mystery? In English, when we think about a mystery, we think about something that is hidden, that has not been revealed to anybody, something that is a mystery. Nobody knows. But in the original language, it's talking about a secret. It's talking about something that was a mystery, but the secret has been revealed to a group of people. And so this mystery of the kingdom of heaven has been given to those who follow Jesus Christ. They have the secret. They have been illuminated by the Holy Spirit of God. They are followers of Jesus Christ. Eso de misterio, en el lenguaje del español, nosotros pensamos al escuchar misterio que es algo pues misterioso, que nadie sabe, que no se sabe el por qué. Pero en verdad, en el lenguaje original, se está hablando de algo que era un misterio, pero ahora se ha descubierto a unas cuantas personas. Es como un secreto. Entonces, a ustedes, los que me están siguiendo, tienen el secreto del reino de los cielos. Han sido iluminados por el poder del Espíritu Santo y ahora me están siguiendo. But then, we see those that are on the outside, Jesus says. To them, everything is in parables. What is a parable? A parable in Jesus' teaching is simply a story that is symbolic. It's a kingdom story. A story that is teaching us in a symbolic way how the kingdom of God is coming about. That's what a parable is. So Jesus says to those who are on the outside, they get everything in parables. Luego vemos el otro grupo. Vemos a aquellos, a los de afuera. Dice Jesús, todas las cosas en parábolas. ¿Y por qué todas las cosas en parábolas? Pues una parábola es una historia simbólica y con referencia a la enseñanza de Jesús, es una historia que manifiesta el reino de Dios en sentido simbólico. And then in verse 12, so that Christ is telling us here why all things come to those who are on the outside in parables. So that, this is the reason, this is my purpose for speaking this way. En el versículo 12, vemos que Jesús da el propósito de hablar en parábolas a los de fuera. Dice, ¿para qué? Dice, está manifestando el propósito de hablar de esa manera. And what he says is, while seeing, they may not see. They may see and not perceive. And while hearing, they may hear and not understand. Otherwise, they might return and be forgiven. Jesus is saying, and this is what came as a surprise to me. I may have read it somewhere else in preparation for the book of Mark, but this is what came as a surprise to me. Jesus, I'm constrained to say, according to Scripture, that Jesus is saying that the parables are judgment. They're judgment. Or that that's their purpose. That's very interesting in light of this in light of the context. And we're going to come back to this idea. A la luz del versículo 12, dice Jesús, dice, todas las cosas están en parábolas para que viendo vean y no perciban, y oyendo oigan y no entiendan, de modo que no se conviertan y les sea perdonado. Eso fue lo que a mí me sorprendió. Pero es lo que dice la Biblia, tengo que creerlo. Jesús está hablando en parábolas y con esas palabras está indicando que habla de esa manera porque es un juicio de parte de Dios. Ese detalle es muy interesante a la luz del contexto. Y vamos a regresar a esa idea. So, just to kind of sum up what we've seen, Jesus is saying that those that are on the outside get everything in parables so that they don't understand and so that they are not converted. The parables are a judgment, in a sense. That was surprising to me because I thought of them as these great, wonderful illustrations of kingdom. And that's true, that they are. But what was Christ's purpose behind it? We see it's a form of judgment. Para resumir lo que hemos visto, Jesús dice que a los de fuera, todas las cosas están en parábolas. Y es para que no entiendan y para que no se conviertan. Es una forma de juicio. Eso fue lo sorprendente para mí, porque al pensar en una parábola, yo me pongo a pensar en esas ilustraciones bien bonitas del Señor Jesús, y sí es cierto, acarrean mucha enseñanza, y están muy bonitas, pero a los de afuera son una forma de juicio. I can think of two occasions in the scriptures, there's probably many more, in which we see something very similar. And then we're going to go through these two occasions, and then we're going to see where this verse of scripture comes from, because he's quoting scripture. Me acuerdo de dos ocasiones más en que vemos algo muy similar. Ha de haber más ocasiones, pero esas dos son inolvidables. Y después de explicar esas dos ocasiones, vamos a ver de dónde vienen esas palabras. Cristo las está citando de las mismas escrituras. So first, remember, this is New Exodus. Christ is bringing back, is fulfilling all of the Old Testament promises of a second and a greater exodus. What happened in the first exodus? God hardens Pharaoh's heart. And then we see also in 2 Thessalonians that God sends a deceitful power so that those who had refused to believe in Christ would believe in the lie. So we're going to go just a little bit deeper into these two situations. We'll read, first of all, if you would go with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Las dos ocasiones son que en el primer éxodo, se acuerda que Marcos está narrando todo a la luz de que Cristo está llevando a cabo un éxodo, nuevo éxodo. Y en el primer éxodo, ¿qué es lo que pasa? Dios endurece el corazón de Faraón. Pero luego también en los escritos de Pablo vemos que a los que no creyeron en Cristo, a los que rehusaron creer en Él, que Dios manda un poder engañoso y es para que crean en la mentira. Entonces, para ver un poco más al fondo esas dos situaciones, vamos a 2 de Tesalonicenses 2, capítulo 2. Y vamos a leer desde el 5 hasta el 12. 2 Thessalonians 2, 5 to 12. Do you not remember that while I was still with you, I was telling you these things? And you know what restrains him now, so that in his time he will be revealed. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work, only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. Then that lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth and bring to an end by the appearance of his coming. That is, the one whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders, and with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish because They did not receive the love of the truth to be saved. For this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they will believe what is false. In order that they all may be judged who did not believe the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness. So here we have a people who has refused to lay down the arms and give in to the Lord Jesus Christ. They've refused to receive the love of truth in order to be saved. And the Bible says for this reason. So this delusion, this deluding influence on the part of God is a judgment on their unbelief. That's what we find. ¿Qué es lo que vemos aquí? Lo que vemos aquí es que Dios manda un poder, una influencia engañosa a los que no habían creído, a los que rehusaron amar a la verdad de Dios y los que insistieron en creer en la mentira. Dios les manda ese poder engañoso en forma de juicio por su incredulidad. And as we think about, again, the first Exodus, you remember when Moses and Aaron went to him in Exodus chapter 5? And they come before Pharaoh and they say, Yahweh says, let my people go. And Pharaoh says, who is Yahweh that I should obey him? And then after that, we see in almost a one-on-one thing, Pharaoh hardening his own heart, and then God hardening his heart. Pharaoh hardening his own heart, God hardening his heart. That hardening is a judgment on Pharaoh's unbelief. Si regresamos al primer Éxodo, vemos que Moisés y Aarón se presentan delante del faraón y le dicen, Yahweh, Jehová dice, deja ir a mi pueblo. ¿Y qué es lo que dice el faraón? Dice, ¿quién es Yahweh? ¿Quién es Jehová que yo le obedezca? Y ya de ahí vemos que Faraón endurece su corazón, luego Dios lo endurece. Luego Faraón endurece su corazón y Dios lo endurece. Ese endurecimiento es juicio sobre Faraón por su incredulidad. So what we are seeing here is judgment on unbelief. The same thing that we see with the parables. Why does Christ speak in parables? So that seeing, even though they see, they won't perceive, and they won't be converted, and they won't be forgiven. And all of this is in the context of a group of people who have openly and boldly, bold-facedly rejected Jesus Christ in another group who are following him. Lo que vemos es que ese endurecimiento, ese poder engañoso, son juicios de parte de Dios por la incredulidad. Y lo que vemos aquí en Marcos es que Jesús habla en parábolas, ¿para qué? Para que viendo, vean, pero entiendan, y no se conviertan, y no sean perdonados. Todo eso en el contexto de un grupo de personas que rechaza de una manera, pues no me queda otra palabra, sino descarada, de una manera descarada a su Mesías. Y otro grupo que se sienta a sus pies a seguirle. El juicio viene sobre los que rehúsan seguir al Señor Jesús. This judgment comes upon those who refuse to follow Jesus Christ. It's terrible to think about it. When does God begin to harden the heart? I don't have an answer. How many times do you have to disbelieve the promise? How many times do you have to bold-facedly say no to Jesus Christ before God will start hardening the heart? I don't know. That's why it doesn't make sense to continue in unbelief for one more second. Because judgment is near. So I plead to you to come with Jesus Christ, to come to Him. Ese juicio, no lo sé explicar. Es un juicio que viene por la incredulidad. Si está aquí y no tiene al Mesías por su tesoro, que no le ha entregado todo, no le sigue rechazando, porque Dios en cualquier momento puede mandar su juicio. Usted podría creer un poder engañoso. Dios podría en un momento dado empezar a endurecer su corazón y ya no habrá más oportunidad para creer. Por favor, no siga rechazando a Jesús, porque no sabe ni cuánto tiempo le queda. Just don't know how much more time. There's people that go to church as a child because they're forced to. They leave the church and they never come back. They die in their sins, hard-hearted and rebellious their whole life. Some of the most wicked people in our society grew up in a Christian home. So please don't reject Jesus. I mean, even this sermon might be your last opportunity. So don't reject Him. Algunas de las personas más, se puede decir, más malvadas en la sociedad se criaron en hogares cristianos. Y porque rechazaron la verdad, se endureció el corazón y ahora no quiere nada que ver con Dios y mueren en sus pecados. Influyen a otros por mal, viven un infierno aquí en la tierra y darán en un infierno después de morir. Porque rechazaron la verdad. No sabemos cuántas oportunidades más tenemos. Hoy es el día de salvación, dice Pablo. So I want to try to confirm this truth to you with two more things, and then we'll be done. To me, it sounded really strange that Jesus would say that I'm speaking in parables so that even though you see, you don't see. But it's the truth, and I'm constrained to explain it to you in this way. That was His purpose. Look at Mark chapter 4. And we'll read verses 33 and 34. Quiero confirmar esa enseñanza con dos detalles más. El hecho de que Jesús habló las parábolas en forma de juicio se me hizo tan sorprendente, pero tengo que hablar la palabra. Vamos a ver dos detalles más para confirmar esa enseñanza. Vamos a leer Marcos 4, del 33 al 34. With many such parables, He was speaking the word to them, so far as they were able to hear it. And He did not speak to them without a parable, but He was explaining everything privately to His own disciples. And let's actually go as well to Matthew chapter 13. Vamos también a Mateo capítulo 13. We'll read 33 to 35. Mateo 13, del 33 al 35. He spoke another parable to them. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 pecks of flour until it was all leavened. All these things Jesus spoke to the crowds in parables, and he did not speak to them without a parable. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the foundation of the world. What we see is Christ explaining his parables to those that followed him, and only speaking in parables to those who did not follow him. If we are in Jesus, we have the secret of the kingdom of God. We have Jesus himself. We have the unction, as John calls it, which is the illumination of the Holy Spirit to teach us. Those that are on the outside do not have this blessing. That's the only difference. La única diferencia es que Jesús explica a sus seguidores a solas el significado. Y a los de fuera, solamente en parábolas, todas las cosas. De creyentes, de seguidores de Jesús, tenemos la bendición de recibir de sus pies su enseñanza. Los que no conocen a Cristo son puras parábolas. Pero tenemos nosotros la unción del Santo, como vimos en 1 de Juan, que nos ilumina, el Cristo mismo que nos enseña. And then we can also see that the words of Jesus in Mark 4:12 come from Isaiah chapter 6. Let's turn there. Isaiah chapter 6. Las palabras de Marcos capítulo 4 y versículo 12, Jesús las está citando de Isaías capítulo 6. Vamos a leer ahí Isaías 6, 9 y 10. Isaías 6, 9 and 10. Isaías 6, 9 y 10. He said, "Go and tell this people, keep on listening, but do not perceive. Keep on looking, but do not understand." And notice the purpose of Isaiah speaking this way. Noten en el 10 el propósito de por qué hablaba así Isaías. Render the hearts of this people insensitive, their ears dull, and their eyes dim. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and return and be healed. We have it in the first Exodus. We have it in prophetic material. We have it in the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ in parables. And we have it at the last day. Judgment upon those who continue in unbelief. Hardening of heart and a believing of a lie. Don't continue rejecting Jesus. Don't reject him. In the first Exodus, there were those who believed and left Egypt. And there were those who were judged. Same thing. In God's spiritual exodus through Jesus Christ. Vemos que juicio viene sobre los incrédulos. En el primer éxodo, los escritos proféticos, las parábolas de Jesús y en el poder engañoso en la venida de Jesús. no rechace a Jesús. No rechace a Jesús. Vemos que en el primer éxodo hubo un grupo de personas que creyeron y salieron, otro grupo de personas que no creyeron y les cayó el juicio. No rechace Jesús. I'd like to encourage you to come to Jesus today. He's the only one who has bore judgment on your behalf. We all are deserving of this judgment. We all at one time in our life were rejecting Jesus Christ. Don't continue to reject Him. So in this we have words of marvelous grace to us who are in Christ, and a stern warning for those who are not in Him. Ahora quiero animarles a que vengan a Jesús. Él es el único que puede quitar ese juicio de encima. Él tomó el juicio para nosotros en la cruz. De hecho, todo lo merecíamos. Todos rechazamos a Jesús en un momento dado. Y tenemos la invitación de acercarnos a Él. En eso vemos la maravillosa gracia de Dios para los que están en Cristo Jesús. Y una exhortación fuerte para los que no lo conocen. We see the blessing of those who have understood the secret of the kingdom. Vemos la dicha de los que entienden el secreto del reino. Mark seems to dwell more on judgment. Matthew speaks a little bit more about blessing. So I'd like to close with Matthew chapter 13. Marcos habla más de juicio. Y Mateo habla un poco más de la bendición. Quiero cerrar con Mateo 13, 16 y 17. Matthew 13, 16 and 17. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. Blessed. For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it.
Bienaventurados los que conocen el secreto del reino.
Blessed are those who know the secret of the kingdom. And it's all by grace. As Paul says, we were no different from anyone else. So as we're coming to the time that we'll remember Christ by receiving the Lord's Supper, let's dwell on the magnificent grace of God revealed to us who are no better than anyone else. We've just been shown a secret.
Si tenemos a Cristo, si entendemos el secreto del reino, no es porque seamos mejor que nadie, sino porque Dios ha escogido a bendecirnos.
Pablo dice que no somos diferentes, éramos iguales, hijos de ira como los demás.
Simplemente Dios nos ha manifestado un secreto.
Así que en el momento de tomar de la cena, acordémonos de la maravillosa y sublime gracia que Dios ha tenido para con nosotros, que no somos mejores que nadie. If
you're here today and you're in Christ, you have scriptural evidence that you're in Him. If you've been baptized and you're not under the discipline of any church, we would love to have you participate with us in the supper. Vamos a participar en la cena. If the men would come, I'm going to go ahead and, when they get up here, go ahead and pray. Van a pasar los hermanos y en cuanto lleguen voy a orar. Que Dios bendiga esos momentos. Father, we thank you that we're no different from anybody else. But you showed us the secret. You've illuminated our hearts. And you've changed us. Padre, te damos gracias porque no somos diferentes que nadie más. Nos iluminaste, nos manifestaste el secreto, cambiaste nuestras vidas y nuestros corazones. Help us to remember your grace as we meditate on the work of Christ in our lives, the work of Christ on the cross. Ayúdanos, Señor, mi Dios, a recordar a Cristo en esos momentos y de meditar en la cruz de Él y de tu gracia para con nosotros. It's in the name of Jesus I pray. Amen. Amen.